Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today's show is how to take control of your life. And this is a very important aspect of how you live your life and the quality of life that you have, simply because we need to be aware of the things that we do to sabotage the life that we have and the lack of control over the life that we have. So the best thing to do is to think of the things that you've done in your life that have created situations that you're in right now and how you can take the control over your life to make it better. For instance, what kind of self-esteem do you have? What kind of relationships do you have? And also, figure out what kind of purpose your life has. For instance, we don't always think about the things that we should and how those things control our life or lack of control in our life, but it is important to understand how those things affect who we are and the lifestyle that we have and what it is that we really need to do that can really help us to control our life. So let's talk about some of the things that we can do to help us have the best life possible and to think about some of the things that you can do that can help you to live the best life possible. For instance, when we think about lifestyle and the way we live our life, we need to think about some of the things that we do for ourselves. For instance, you know, what if you have someone in your life that is constantly belittling you or telling you negative or making you feel very negative about yourself? We often don't always think about these things or how they affect us or what we do to sabotage ourselves. So what we need to do is think about how we can improve ourselves, what we can do that can really benefit who we are and where we come from, and how we can live the best life possible in who we are and who we want to be. And part of that is to think about the art and science of success and how we can really take control over our life and live that best life possible. And remember, who we are depends on the thought processes. We can always learn to live a better life, but it all depends on who we are and where we come from and how we can live the best possible life possible given who we are and what we want out of life. And think about this as something that you can do that can really help you. For instance, self-improvement. Self-improvement is to think about the things that you've gone through and how you can change things around, how you could possibly be who it is that you really want to be. Self-improvement and success, hand in hand. Everything that happens to us happens in purpose. And sometimes one thing leads to another. Instead of locking yourself up in your cage of fears and crying over past heartaches, embarrassment or failures, treat them as your teachers, and they will become your tools in both self-improvement and success. Remember watching Patch Adams? If one great film that will help you improve yourself, Hunter Patch Adams is a medical student who failed to make it through the board exams. After months of suffering in melancholy, depression, and suicidal attempts, he decides to seek for medical attention and voluntarily admitted himself to to a psychiatric ward. His months of stay in the hospital led him to meeting different kinds of people, sick people in that matter. He met a catatonic, a mentally retarded, a schizophrenic, and so on. Patch found ways of treating his own ailment and finally realized he had to get back on track. He woke up on a morning realizing that after all the failure and pain he had gone through, he still wanted to become a doctor. He carries with himself a positive attitude that brought himself improvement and success. He didn't only improve himself, but also the life of the people around him and the quality of life. Did he succeed? Needless to say, he became the best damn doctor his country had ever known. So when does self-improvement become synonymous with success? Where do we start? Take these tips. Stop thinking and feeling as if you're a failure, because you're not. How can others accept you if you can't accept you? When you see hunks and models on TV, think more on self-improvement, not self-pitying. Self-acceptance is not just about having a nice slender legs or great abs. Concentrate on inner beauty. So when people feel down and low about themselves, help them move up. Don't go down with them. They'll pull you down further and further, that both of you will end up feeling inferior. And that's the biggest thing that you need to remember, that your feelings of inferiority come from inside you, and it comes from the people around you being negative to you or telling you negative statements. And why do they do this? Because in their mind, they lack self-esteem, and to make themselves more powerful, they have to control someone else. So therefore, it's up to them to beat you down emotionally. That allows them to take control over you and gives them power. It makes them feel better about themselves. So remember, that power that you allow them to have is something that you're giving away, because you really have power in your life. It's just a matter of learning how to take control of that power that you have and make it the best damn life you could possibly have. The world is a large room for lessons, not mistakes. Don't feel stupid and doomed forever just because you failed on a science quiz. That's always a next time. Make rooms for self-improvement. Take things one at a time. You don't expect black sheep to be goody two-shoes in just a snap of a finger. Self-improvement is a one-day-at-a-time process. Self-improvement results in inner stability, personality development, and success. It comes from self-confidence, self-appreciation, and self-esteem. And the thing is, remember, self-esteem is something that we have to learn. None of us are born with self-esteem. And as a child, you're a clean slate. So the problem is that other people, when they come into your life and they start controlling it and they start telling you how to think and how you should think about yourself, and then you watch TV and they always talk about the perfect person, the perfect beauty. All they're doing is, when they're comparing people, instead of realizing that we're all real and live in this world and we all have insecurities, and it's just a matter of learning how to take control of your life and live your life to where you're the happiest and it's fulfilled. Set meaningful and achievable goals. Self-improvement doesn't turn you to be the exact replica of Cameron Diaz or Ralph Fiennes. It hopes and aims to result in an improved and better you. Little things mean big to other people. Sometimes we don't realize that the little things that we do, like a pat on the back, saying hi or hello, greeting someone, good day, or telling Mr. Smith something like, hey, I love your tie, are simple things that mean so much to other people. When we're being appreciative about beautiful things around us and other people, we also become beautiful to them. When you're willing to accept change and go through the process of self-improvement, it doesn't mean that everyone else is. The world is a place where people of different values and attitudes hang out. Sometimes, even if you think you and your best friend always like to do the same thing together at the same time, she would most likely decline an invitation for self-improvement. We should always remember that there's no such thing as an overnight success. It's always a wonderful feeling to hold on to the things that you already have now, realizing that those are just one of the things that you once wished for. A very nice quote that said, "When the student is ready, the teacher will appear." We are all here to learn our lessons. Our parents, school teachers, friends, colleagues, office mates, neighbors, they are our teachers. When we open our doors for self-improvement, we increase our chances to head to the road of success. Now, let me back up here a minute and remember that we're talking about how to improve, you know, or take control of your life. And remember, when you allow someone else to dictate to you everything in your life, then you are saying that you're powerless. And yet, as a young child, as we're first developing, as we're first learning about the outside world, we need our parents to tell us what love is, to explain it to us. When we see something on TV that we don't understand, we need them to explain it to us. But as you mature, as you grow up, then you have to take responsibility for your life. You even see this in conflicts between parents and children, because sometimes parents don't want to let go of those children, so they kind of use that power to constantly beat you down so that they can keep control over your life instead of letting you grow and become a mature adult and think for yourself. There are times that we make the wrong choices and our parents need to step in and help us, but at the same time, we have to have control over our lives, and we have to learn how to make the right decisions for who we are. You cannot live your life according to someone else. You have to learn to live your life for you. And remember that song that said, "Don't let your sons grow up to be cowboys." And remember how your parents will often say, like, "My son the doctor, my son the lawyer." It's what it is they're living out their dreams through you. And sometimes you have to learn to stand up to them and tell them it's your life, not theirs. And they are going to have to let you go so you can live the life you were meant to be. We are all unique in who we are. We all have certain behavior patterns that are natural for us, and you have to find where your strengths are, where your lifestyle is, and how to utilize it to benefit you. The importance of improving yourself. Sometimes when all our doubts, fears, and insecurities wrap ourselves up, we always come up with the idea of, "I wish I was somebody else." More often than not, we think and believe that someone, or rather most people, are better than us, when in reality, the fact is, most people are more scared than us. Remember, when you're watching a TV show and everyone seems perfect, it's because they're fitting into a script. There's been 10, 20 writers out there that have written it and skewered it and rewrote it so that it makes them look like they've got the answer for everything. If you remember back to the 1950s when TV was just starting and the comedy and the family shows, you would think that the parents always had the right answer. But in reality, when they were dealing with their own family, they didn't always have the right answer. The only thing they could pull on was the fact that it was 10 people giving them something to say and how to say it. And remember, sometimes when you're watching soap operas on TV and they're saying things, remember, they're given a line to deal with. And you don't know whether some of the lines are so silly and so stupid and they don't really sound like something that someone would really say. Well, guess what? Behind the camera, these people are probably laughing at these lines themselves because they know in real life they would not say this. So remember, we all don't have the right answers, but it's a matter of taking control of your life and working through it and learning how to have the right answer. That is all a part of self-development. You spot a totally eye-catching girl sitting by herself at a party, casually sipping on a glass of Asti Spumante. You think of yourself, she looks so perfectly calm and confident, but if you could read through her transparent mind, you would see a bunch of clouds of thought, and you might just be amazed that she's thinking, are people talking about me, about why I'm seated here alone? Why don't guys find me attractive? I don't like my ankles. They look too skinny. I wish I was as intelligent as my best friend. We look at a young business entrepreneur and say, whoa, what else could he ask for? He stares at himself in the mirror and murmurs to himself, I hate my big eyes. I wonder why my friends won't talk to me. I hope mom and dad would still work things out. Isn't it funny? We look at other people, envy them for looking so outrageously perfect, and wish we could trade places with them while they look at us and think of the same thing. We are insecure of other people who themselves are insecure of us. We suffer from low self-esteem, lack of self-confidence, and lose hope in self-improvement because we are enveloped in quiet desperation. Sometimes you notice that you have an irritating habit like biting off your fingernails, having a foul mouth, and you, of all people, is the last to know. I have a friend who never gets tired of talking, and in most conversations, she is the only one who seems to be interested in the things she has to say. So all of our other friends tend to avoid the circle whenever she's around, and she doesn't notice how badly she became socially handicapped, gradually affecting the people in her environment. One key to self-improvement is to listen and talk to a trusted friend. Find someone who you find comfort in opening up with, even the most gentle topic you want to discuss. Ask questions like, do you think I am ill-mannered? Do I always sound argumentative? Do I talk too loud? Does my breath smell? Do I ever bore you when we are together? In this way, the other person will obviously know that you are interested in the process of self-improvement. Lend her your ears for comments and criticisms, and don't give her answers like, don't exaggerate. That's just the way I am. Open up your mind and heart as well. And in return, you may want to help your friend with constructive criticism that will also help her improve herself. One of Whitney Houston's songs says, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. True enough, in order to love others, you must love yourself too. Remember, you cannot give what you don't have. And that reminds me that Bon Jovi has a song, It's My Life. And for so many years, because I grew up with a disability, I was often told how I couldn't have a life, that I would always need to be taken care of. So that song has meaning to me, and that song is the song that I use on my cell phone, that whenever someone calls me, that's what I hear. And, you know, there's always a song that you hear that the words have meaning to it. if you remember in the 60s, during the time when we were coming out of a very conservative era in the 50s, and as people were maturing and getting out of college, it became more of experimental, trying drugs, trying alcohol, trying almost anything, that what they were doing was they were trying to learn how to take better control of their lives. But at the same time, the songs of the era, if you can look at the strife of what was going on the one hand, you had families where they were like, oh, you know, girls could not have sex until after marriage. And then what happened was you had people that when they looked at their bodies, they didn't know what to expect. So it became more free love, free whatever. And then it toned down as they matured and went into the workplace. But life is always changing, and you have to adapt to the lifestyle. You have to adapt to what's age appropriate. Before telling other people some ways of how to improve themselves, let them see that you yourself is a representation and a product of self-improvement. Self-improvement makes us better people. We then inspire other people, and then the rest of the world all follow. Stop thinking of yourselves as second-rate beings. Forget the repetitive thought of if only I was richer, if only I was thinner, and so on. Accepting your true self is the first step to self-improvement. We need to stop comparing ourselves to others only to find out at the end that we've got 10 more reasons to envy them. We all have our insecurities. Nobody is perfect. We always wish we had better things, better features, better body parts, etc. But life need not be perfect for people to be happy about themselves. Self-improvement and loving yourself is not a matter of shouting to the whole world that you are perfect and that you are the best. It's the virtue of acceptance and contentment. When we begin to improve ourselves, we then begin to feel contented and happy, building your self-esteem. But how do you stay calm, composed, and maintain self-esteem in a tough environment? Here are some tips that you may consider as a starter guide to self-improvement. Imagine yourself as a dartboard. Everything and everyone else around you may become dart pins at one point or another. These dart pins will destroy your self-esteem and put you down in ways you won't even remember. Don't let them destroy you or get the best of you. So which dart pins should you avoid? Dart pin number one, negative work environment. Beware of dog eat dog theory, where everyone else is fighting just to get ahead. This is where non-appreciative people usually thrive. No one will appreciate your contributions even if you miss lunch and dinner and stay up late. Most of the time you get to work too much without getting help from people concerned. Stay out of this. It will ruin your self-esteem. Competition is at stake everywhere. Be healthy enough to compete, but in a healthy competition, that is. And that is one thing to remember. There's always competition in life, but what makes a team successful, whether in the workplace, just look at what makes a baseball team successful. Each individual has their role. And currently, I'm living in Florida, and they all talk about the dream team, the three players that they got from other teams that were supposed to make this team a winning team. And yes, when they're all three playing and they're all healthy, they are successful. But nothing said all players were going to be healthy all year long. And right, and when one or two of them are injured, then you will not see that team being a winning team. But remember, things never, we need to play off each other. Things are not perfect. And look for things that you can do that can really help you, and understand what your natural behavioral style is, how you use that style to build inside you the person that you want to be, and how you can take control over your life and live the best quality life that is possible. Dark pin number two, other people's behavior. Bulldozers, brown nosers, gossip mongers, whiners, backstabbers, snipers, people walking wounded, controllers, naggers, complainers, exploders, patronizers, sluffers, all these kind of people will pose bad vibes to your self-esteem as well as to your self-improvement scheme. Now, remember, if I'm jealous of you, what am I going to do? To your face, I'll say all the things you want to hear, but guess what? Behind your back, I'm going to go around and talk about you. And I'm not just going to talk about what a nice person you are, but I'm going to turn around and I'm going to try and make people angry at you by bringing up all of your faults and all of the things that you do that I don't like about you. So guess what? All of these are things that you've got to think about, you know, in the kind of lifestyle that you want. And sometimes you got to realize other people's bad behavior is because they're jealous. And if you want to live the best quality of life possible with self-esteem and self-image and improve yourself, then you have to understand where you're coming from and why you react the way you do within those given situations, and get an opportunity to take control of your life. Dot 10 number three, changing environment. You can't be a green bug on a brown field. Changes challenge our paradigms. It tests our flexibility, adaptability, and alters the way we think. Changes will make life difficult for a while. It may cause stress, but it will help us find ways to improve ourselves. Change will be there forever. We must be susceptible to it. Remember, life is not stagnant. Life is constantly changing. Nothing ever stays the same. Just look at the workplace. Look at how technology has helped change the workplace and the things that you've done that have helped improve who you are and where you come from. Dot 10 number four, past experience. It's okay to cry and say ouch when we experience pain, but don't let pain transform itself into fear. It might grab you by the tail and swing you around. Treat each failure and mistake as a lesson. Remember, everything that you do, every experience you have, if you look at it as a lesson to help you improve and get you where you really want to be, then guess what? You will build your self-esteem. You will be working on yourself to improve who you are. And remember, if you want to have a good lifestyle and a positive lifestyle, think of it as how ways that you're building an opportunity to take control of the life you're living today. And also, what I want to do is stop here and let me give you dot 10 number five, negative worldview. Look at what you're looking at. Don't wrap yourself up with all the negativities of the world. In building self-esteem, we must learn how to make the best and worst of situations. And what that means is, if you are in a situation that may not be exactly what you want, it may not be the job that you want. When you first got the job, you had certain expectations of that job, and then it turned out to be not exactly what you wanted. Well, guess what? If you make the best of it, then in the long run, you will become the person you want to be. Dot 10 number 6, determination theory. The way you are and your behavior traits is said to be a mixed end product of your inherited traits, genetics, your upbringing, psychic, and your environmental surroundings, such as your spouse, the company, the economy, or your circle of friends. You have your own identity. If your father is a failure, it doesn't mean you have to be a failure too. Learn from other people's experience so you'll never have to encounter the same mistakes. Sometimes you may want to wonder if some people are born leaders or positive thinkers. No, being positive and staying positive is a choice. Building self-esteem and drawing lines of self-improvement is a choice, not a rule of talent. God wouldn't come down from his heaven and tell you, George, you may now have the permission to build self-esteem and improve yourself. In life, it's hard to stay tough, especially when things and people around you keep pulling you down. When we get to the battlefield, we should choose the right luggage to bring and armor to use and pick those that are bulletproof. Life's options give us a raise of more options. Along the battle, we will get hit and bruised. And wearing a bulletproof armor ideally means self-change, the kind of change that comes from within, voluntarily. Armor of self-change comes three things: our attitude, our behavior, and our way of thinking. And remember, part of this, and we talked about it, how the environment around us influences the important others like parents, teachers, even our friends influence us. So it's a matter of understanding where you're coming from and how to take control of your life. Building self-esteem will eventually lead to self-improvement if we start to become responsible for who we are, what we have, and what we do. It's like a flame that should gradually spread like a brush fire from inside and outside. When we develop self-esteem, we take control of our mission, values, and discipline. Self-esteem brings about self-improvement through assessment and determination. So how do you start pulling up the building blocks to self-esteem? Be positive. Be contented and happy. Be appreciative. Never miss an opportunity to compliment. A positive way of living will help you build self-esteem, your starter guide to self-improvement. Okay, what I want to do now is take a short break, and I will be back in about a minute, and then we will continue. But I also want to remind you, you can go to my website, and that website is onepersonalcareercoach.com, and you can get individual coaching, or you can participate in group coaching. And we are also offering a complimentary coaching consultation. Like to welcome you back, and for the last half of our show, we're going to talk about spiritual growth, the spiritual challenge of modern times, because remember, how we live our lives and how we believe in our faith comes through not only the church, but the things that we hear around us and the things that we see every day. To grow spiritually in a world defined by power, money, and influence is a Herculean task. Modern conveniences such as electronic equipment, gadgets, and tools, as well as entertainment through television, magazines and the web has predisposed us to confine our attention mostly to physical needs and wants. As a result, our concepts of self-worth and self-meaning are muddled. How can we strike a balance between the material and spiritual aspects of our lives? To grow spiritually is to look inward. Introspection goes beyond recalling the things that happened in a day, week, or month. You need to look closely and reflect on your thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and motivations. Periodically examining your experiences, the decisions you make, the relationships you have, and the things you engage in provide useful insights on your life goals, on the good traits you must sustain, and the bad traits you have to discard. Moreover, it gives you clues on how to act, react, and conduct yourself in the midst of any situation. Like any skill, introspection can be learned. All it takes is the courage and willingness to seek the truths that lie within you. Here are some pointers when you introspect. Be objective, be forgiving of yourself, and focus on your areas of improvement. To grow spiritually is to develop your potential. Religion and science have differing views on matters of the human spirit. Religious views people as spiritual beings temporarily living on earth, while science views the spirit as just one dimension of an individual. Mastery of the self is a recurring theme in both Christian and Islamic teachings. The needs of the body are recognized but placed under the needs of the spirit. Beliefs and values, morality, rules, experiences in good works provide the blueprint to ensure the growth of the spiritual being. In psychology, realizing one's full potential is to self-actualize. Maslow identified several human needs: physiological, security, belongingness, esteem, cognitive, aesthetic, self-actualization, and self-transcendence. James earlier categorized these needs into three: material, emotional, and spiritual. When you have satisfied the basic physiological and emotional needs, spiritual or existential needs come next. Achieving each need leads to the total development of the individual. Perhaps the difference between those two religions and psychology is the end of self-development. Christianity and Islam see that self-development is a means towards serving God, while psychology views that self-development is an end by itself. To grow spiritually is to search for meaning. Religions that believe in the existence of God, such as Christianism, Judaism, and Islam, suppose that the purpose of the human life is to serve the creator of all things. Several theories in psychology propose that we ultimately give meaning to our lives. Whether we believe that life's meaning is predetermined or self-directed, to grow in spirit is to realize that we do not merely exist. We do not know the meaning of our lives at birth, but we gain knowledge and wisdom from our interactions with people and from our actions and reactions to the situations we are in. As we discover this meaning, there are certain beliefs and values that we reject and affirm. Our lives have purpose. The purpose puts all our physical, emotional, and intellectual potentials into use, sustains us during trying times, and gives us something to look forward to, a goal to achieve, a destination to reach. A person without purpose or meaning is like a drifting ship at sea. To grow spiritually is to recognize interconnections. Religions stress the concept of our relatedness to all creation, live and inanimate. Thus, we call other people brothers and sisters, even if there are no direct blood relations. Moreover, deity-centered religions such as Christianity and Islam speak of the relationship between humans and a higher being. On the other hand, science expounds on our link to other living things through the evolution theory. The relatedness is clearly seen in the concept of ecology, the interaction between living and non-living things. In psychology, connectedness is a characteristic of self-transcendence, the highest human need according to Maslow. Recognizing your connection to all things makes you more humble and respectful of people, animals, plants, and things in nature. It makes you appreciate everything around you. It moves you to go beyond your comfort zone and reach out to other people and become stewards of all other things around you. Growth is a process, thus to grow in spirit is a day-to-day encounter. We win some, we lose some, but the important thing is that we learn, and from this knowledge, further spiritual growth is made possible. Motivation, the heart of self-improvement. Pain may sometimes be the reason why people change. Getting flunked grades make us realize that we need to study. Debts remind us of our inability to look for a source of income. Being humiliated gives us the push to speak up and fight for ourselves to save our face from the next embarrassment. It may be a bitter experience, a friend's tragic story, a great movie, or an inspiring book that will help us get up and get just the right amount of motivation we need in order to improve ourselves. With the countless negatives the world brings about, how do we keep motivated? Try on the tips I prepared from A to Z. Achieve your dreams. Avoid negative people, things, and places. Eleanor Roosevelt once said, "The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams." Believe in yourself and in what you can do. Consider things on every angle and aspect. Motivation comes from determination to be able to understand life. You should feel the sun from both sides. Don't give in and don't give up. Thomas Edison failed once, twice, more than thrice before he came up with his invention and perfected the incandescent light bulb. Make motivation as your steering wheel. Enjoy work as if you don't need money. Dance as if nobody's watching. Love as if you never cried. Learn as if you'll live forever. Motivation takes place when people are happy. Family and friends are life's greatest treasures. Don't lose sight of them. Give more than what is enough. Where do motivation and self-improvement take place? At work, at home, at school, when you exert extra effort in doing things. Hang on to your dreams. They may dangle in there for a moment, but those little stars will be your driving force. Ignore those who try to destroy you. Don't let other people to get the best of you. Stay out of toxic people. The kind of friends who hate to hear about your success. Just be yourself. The key to success is to be yourself, and the key to failure is to please everyone. Keep trying no matter how hard life may seem. When a person is motivated, eventually he sees a harsh life finally clearing out, paving the way of self-improvement. Learn to love yourself. Now, isn't that easy? Make things happen. Motivation is when your dreams are put into work clothes. Never lie, cheat, or steal. Always play a fair game. Open your eyes. People should learn the horse attitude and horse sense. They see things in two ways, how they work things to be and how they should be. Practice makes perfect. Practice is about motivation. It lets us learn repertoire and ways on how to and ways to how we can recover from our mistakes. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. So choose your fate. Are you going to be a quitter or a winner? Ready yourself. Motivation is also about preparation. We must hear the little voice within us telling us to get started before others will get on their feet and try to push us around. Remember, it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Stop procrastinating. Take control of your life. Discipline or self-control jive synonymously with motivation. Both are key factors in self-improvement. Understand others. If you know very well how to talk, you should also learn how to listen. Yearn to understand first and to be understood the second. Visualize it. Motivation without vision is like a boat on a dry land. Want is more than anything. Dreaming means believing, and to believe is something that is rooted out from the roots of motivation and self-improvement. X factor is what will make you different from the others. When you are motivated, you tend to put on extras on your life, like extra time for family, extra help at work, extra care for friends, and so on. You are unique. No one in this world looks, acts, or talks like you. Value your life and exist because you're just going to spend it once. Zero in on your dreams and go get it. Unlocking your self-improvement power. When we look at a certain object, a painting, for example, we won't be able to appreciate what's in it, what is painted, and what else goes with it if the painting is just an inch away from our face. But if we try to take it a little further, we'll have a clearer vision on the whole artwork. We reach a point in our life when we are ready to change, and a whole bunch of information that will help us unlock our self-improvement power. Until then, something can be staring us right under our nose, but we don't see it. The only time we think of unlocking our self-improvement power is when everything got worse. Take the frog principle, for example. Try placing frog A in a pot of boiling water. What happens? He jumps. He jumps up. Then, if you see the green thing, then turn the gas stove on. Wait until the water reaches a certain boiling point. Now, and John are also important, and doesn't realize at once the importance and the need of self-improvement until the entire community hates us. We learn our lessons when we experience pain. We finally see the warning signs and signals when things get rough and tough. When do we realize that we need to change diets? When none of our jeans and shirts would fit us. When do we stop eating candies and chocolates? When all of our teeth have fallen off. When do we realize that we need to stop smoking? When our loves have gone bad. When do we pray and ask for help? When we realize that we're going to die tomorrow. The only time that most of us ever learn about unlocking our self-improvement power is when the whole world is crashing and falling apart. We think and feel this way because it is not easy to change, but change becomes more painful when we ignore it. Change will happen, like it or hate it. At one point or another, we are all going to experience different turning points in our life, and we are all going to eventually unlock our self-improvement power, not because the world says so, not because our friends are nagging us, but because we realize it's for our own good. And if you just look at what's happening in the job market today, so many times we're afraid to change. We want the job market to stay the same. Jobs have gone overseas, but technology has taken its place. So if we're willing to embrace technology, then we can keep the jobs. We just need to realize we have to rethink where we're working today, that it's no longer working in an office, because companies are looking for ways to cut their expenses. So this is a time when we're beginning to realize that we've got to change. And it's because there's a high unemployment rate that has never changed. And we are beginning to realize that we have to learn to adapt to today's marketplace. And if this was not happening right now, it would be something else going on. But remember, you can't look to the government to solve all your problems. You have to think of things that you can do that can help you change. And that all comes through self-improvement. Happy people don't just accept change, they embrace it. Now you don't have to feel a tremendous heat before realizing the need for self-improvement. Unlocking your self-improvement power means unlocking yourself up in the cage of thought that it's just the way I am. It is such a poor excuse for people who fear and resist change. Most of us program our minds like computers. Jen repeatedly tells everyone that she doesn't have the guts to be around groups of people. She heard her mom, her dad, her sister, her teacher tell the same things about her to other people. Over the years, it is what Jen believes. She believes it's her story. And what happened? Every time a great crowd would troop over the house, in school, or in the community, she tends to step back, shy away, or lock herself up in a room. Jen didn't only believe her story, she lived it. Now remember, this is what you need. You need to decide what kind of lifestyle you want, and you have to put yourself in it, and you have to live it, because if you live it, then guess what? It will come true. And this is an example of how someone let the people around her create her lifestyle for her and her script for it, and taking control of it and rewriting everything to be her own script. So self-improvement is learning how to take control of your life and living the life you want, not the life that other people are telling you that you should have. Jen has to realize that she is not what she is in her story. Instead of having her story post around her face for everyone to remember, she has to have the spirit and show people, I am an important person and I should be treated accordingly. Self-improvement may not be everybody's favorite word, but if we look at things in a different point of view, we might have greater chances of enjoying the whole process instead of counting the days until we fully improve. 3 sessions in a week at the gym would result in a healthier life. Reading books instead of looking at poems will shape up a more profound knowledge. Going out with friends and peers will help you take a step back from work and unwind. And just when you are enjoying the whole process of unlocking your self-improvement power, you realize that you're beginning to take things light and become happy. Now for the crash course 7-day program, self-improvement. I seem to have lost count on how many times I've read and heard of celebrity marriages failing almost left and right. Not that I care, and personally I don't. It seems strange that we often see movie and TV stars as flawless people living the fairy tale life of riches and glamour. I suppose we all have to stop sticking our heads in the clouds and face reality. There are many ways to lose your sense of self-esteem. despite of how trivial it could get. But whatever happens, we should all try not to lose our own sense of self. So what does it take to be caught above the rest? Here are some of the things you can think and improve on that should be enough for a week. Day one, know your purpose. Are you wandering through life with little direction, hoping that you'll find happiness, health, and prosperity? Identify your life purpose or mission statement, and you will have your own unique compass that will lead you to your true north every time. This may seem tricky at first when you see yourself to be in a tight and even dead end, but there's always the little loophole to turn things around, and you can make a big difference in yourself. Day two, know your values. What do you value most? Make a list of your top five values. Some examples are security, freedom, family, spiritual development, and learning. As you set your goals, check your goals against your values. If the goal doesn't align with any of your top five values, you may want to reconsider it and revise it. The number shouldn't discourage you. Instead, it should motivate you to do more than you can ever dream of. Unmet needs can keep you from living authentically. Know your needs, day three. Take care of yourself. Do you have a need to be acknowledged, to be right, to be in control, to be loved? There were so many people who lived their lives without realizing their dreams, and most of them end up being stressed or even depressed for that matter. List your top four needs and get them met before it's too late. Know your passions. You know who you are and what you truly enjoy in life. Obstacles like doubt and lack of enthusiasm will only hinder you, but will not derail your chance to become the person you ought to be. Express yourself and honor the people you have inspired you to become the very person you wanted to be. Day five, live from the inside out. Increase your awareness of your inner wisdom. Be regularly reflecting in silence. Commune with nature. Breathe deeply to quiet your distracted mind. For most of us city slickers, it's hard to even find the peace and quiet we want even in our own home. In my case, I often just sit in a dimly lit room and play some classical music. There are sounds, yes, but music does soothe the savage beast. Day six, honor your strengths. What are your positive traits? What special talents do you have? List three if you get stuck. Ask those closest to you to help identify those. Are you imaginative, witty, good with your hands? Find ways to express your authentic self through your strengths. You can increase your self-confidence when you can share what you know to others. Day seven, serve others. When you live authentically, you may find that you develop an interconnected sense of being. When you are true to who you are, living your purpose, and giving to your talents of the world around you, you give back in service what you came to share with others, your spirit, your essence. The rewards of sharing your gift with those close to you is indeed rewarding. Much more if it were to be the eyes of a stranger who can appreciate you for what you have done to them. Self-improvement is indeed one type of work that is worth it. It shouldn't always be within the confines of an office building and maybe in the four corners of your own room. The difference lies within ourselves and how much we want to change. And remember that you can go to my website, and that website is onepersonalcareercoach.com, and you can sign up for either individual coaching or group coaching, and you can learn how to take control of your life and how to become the person that you truly, truly want to be.